Pushing your physical and conceptual limits on Vancouver Island is the subject of travel journalist Hans Tamamagi's article today. Welcome, Hans, and thank you for joining Talking Travel today.
Well, hello, Roy. It's great to be with you again.
It's always wonderful to chat with you, Hans, and you always have some such great subjects and such wonderful places and beautiful photos. I just get so jealous when I see all the wonderful things you're doing and in such a wonderful place. Your article today was the Strathcona Park Lodge and Outdoor Educational Center, and it's interesting. You started off by, strapped into a harness like a fly tangled in a spider web, I was perched high, ever so high, in a tall fir tree in the depths of the forest. I clung to the edge of the small platform on a rope connected me to a steel cable and stretched 200 feet far down the slope. Go ahead and jump, encouraged my instructor. You have to trust the equipment.
It was a scary moment in my life.
And as you said, easy for him to say, right?
Very much so, yeah. You know, it was very similar to, I've never done it, but very similar to what I imagined bungee jumping to be like.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I thought maybe that I wasn't quite clear about the difference between the two, actually.
Well, no, in bungee jumping, you just fall straight down until a cord stops you.
Right.
Here you actually, it's the same thing. You just start off and free fall, but then you're guided along a cable that
right.
kind of goes down at, a 45-degree angle and carries you down the hill
right.
at a huge rate of knots. Yeah, but it's that little bit at the start. It's just getting yourself off the edge.
And they call it rappelling. Is that it?
It's zip lining.
Oh, zip lining. Okay.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy!
Experience.
I give you a lot of credit to get it, you know, even giving it a try. And go on and tell us about this place, because it's right. It's quite fascinating.
Yeah, I was really taken by this place. As you know, I've traveled to a lot of places, but I really, really like Strathcona Park Lodge. It's all about doing things in nature and building, pushing your own inner boundaries and learning. And, you know, you just come away from feeling so much better as a person and having seen so many wonderful things and done some exciting, you know, pulse-thumping, activities while you're there. It's
exactly.
So different.
Yeah.
You know, Roy, it's totally different from, you know, what's become the trend right now, cruises and all-inclusive,
right.
where, you know, it's all stuff yourself.
Right.
You know, for weeks after, months afterwards, you have to diet and kind of make up for all
right.
the bad, what you've done to your body bad in a bad way. Here you come out feeling really good about yourself and about humanity and so on.
And getting back to nature.
Yeah.
According to your article, the woman is not a young gal who has this place.
No, but, you know, she's a poster girl for the establishment.
I'll bet.
She's over 70, and, you know, she walks and talks and behaves like about a 45-year-old. She's active, she's fit, and she's super friendly. Like, it's really one of the wonderful things about a family-run place. I mean, they really care about their guests.
Right.
And this lady, she walked around and met everybody and gave them pointers and, you know, was just friendly and chatting with them.
Now, the lodge, as you say in your article, is a collection of log cabins and chalets sprawling down a slope down to Lake Buttle. And but it's more than just a lodge. It's much more than that. It's also a training ground for instructors. Is that correct?
Yes, that's how it started, and in fact they continue to do an enormous amount of it. The Canadian Outdoor Leadership Training School runs out of here, and it's a marvelous. It's the premier place in Canada for teaching people that want to go into adventure tourism, or just want to become certified in canoeing and mountaineering and kayaking and all those things, and
right.
which is a really big growing part of tourism these days. So that's what their main aim is, and it's a real center of excellence, probably one of the best centers in the world. They have people come from all around the world to train there and get certified in these activities.
I thought it was very nice, this one line, and it got me to thinking about my own grandchildren. It said, one morning you watched a 67-year-old woman and her 9-year-old granddaughter deep in conversation as they paddled a canoe out to explore a small island. What a lovely thought that is, because I suddenly thought to myself, you know, what a wonderful thing it would be to take my grandson or granddaughter to a place like that and get back to nature and just get away from everything else where you can talk. And I was really moved by that statement.
Well, and I'm glad you were, Roy, because I was moved by it there when I was there myself as well. That's the nice thing about this place. There is no TV. There's none of the usual commercial things.
All right.
When you're there, you interact as human beings. You know, you have time to talk. You have time to do things. You have time to explore nature. And it's for all ages. You know, it's not just for young kids that can help down these zip lines or rappel down cliffs. It's for everybody. It's for people like your age and my age as well that can go out there and just enjoy nature and learn about it and connect with people, and particularly people that are close to you, like grandchildren.
Right, and kids interacting with other kids, like you say, they encourage and support each other, even when the occasional one could not quite conquer their fear, as you put it.
Yeah, the counselors there are very, very good. And what they really emphasize to all these kids before they start is that they're not competing against each other, they're competing against themselves. They want to just learn to push their own boundaries. And I watched as this one young girl just was absolutely petrified of fear of heights and just couldn't get up this cliff when they're rock climbing. And, you know, all the other kids, normally, you know, you'd see them being derogatory, but here they're very supportive of her. They gave her hugs when she came back down.
Yeah.
And then the counselor asked whether she had actually pushed her boundaries, and she had. She'd gone further than she had ever expected to do, even though she didn't get to the top. And that's all it was about. She had pushed her boundaries, learned something about herself, and that was a really good experience.
Yeah, absolutely terrific. Now tell us a bit more, if you will, about Myrna Boulding, who is the founder of the lodge?
That's right. Her and her late husband founded it back in the 1950s. I forget the exact date.
Wow, it goes back quite a ways, yeah.
Yeah, no. Well, they were both high school teachers. But they'd gone on to sort of the master's level in education, and they'd gone to England, and there they had learned all about this kind of outdoor experience and outdoor leadership and outdoor training. So they came back to Canada and set this place up. And she's a remarkable woman. She's a real environmentalist, so she's really very aware of and fighting to protect the environment in that whole area, which really needs it from some of the logging and stuff that goes on. But she's also a nutritionist. So all the food that's up there is really wholesome and high quality, good food. Like, you don't get junk food there at all.
Yeah, I would think, and I would think the type of people that go there aren't looking for junk food. That's for sure.
Yeah, and she's not. They're not in it for the money. This is not a place, that they're trying to commercialize and make get rich on. They're there because this is what they think is the right thing to do, and they enjoy, and furthermore, they get great satisfaction out of doing it.
And I think it's important that emphasize that safety is a major factor here.
Yes, yes. Their instructors are really well trained, and safety is drilled into them, into them and into the students very, very thoroughly. And in fact, I think I put out in the article there, I was talking to one gentleman that from the States, and he said that this is one of the best things he's ever been to. With his kids, and he wishes there was more places like this in the States, but there isn't, because in the States there's a much higher, I guess, litigation and suing going on. So, of course, safety has to be number one on their agenda here.
Now, you also go on to say that Brian Gunn, I guess, who is her partner, is not a young man either, and he and two of his friends did some pretty stressful hiking.
Yeah. I had a very nice short hike with Brian one day up to a nearby lookout.
Don't tell me they wore you out.
Oh, yeah. And then he told me the story. And then later on he showed me some slides of the outing. And he and two other companions, and I think at least one of them was a woman. They're all both aged 68 and 70, and hiked for 6 days into the wilderness.
How incredible!
And it was marvelous, and they didn't rush. You know, at that age, of course, you're not out to set speed records. But boy, did they have a nice time! And some of the scenery they saw was fabulous. Like, they came on a herd of elk. There must have been 30 or 40 elk.
Right.
And the elk didn't stampede away, so they were able to watch them and photograph them and just learn about their behavior for quite a long time.
And some of this they apparently did along snow-covered ridges. And by some of those photos that I saw in your article, that accompanied your article, there was some pretty serious snow there.
Yeah. Once you get up to the summit of some of these mountains at 7,000 foot, even in summertime, they've got snow on them. You have to know a bit about hiking in the snow and so on as well.
Now, there are two things. One, I'd like to cover before we go, if you go. But before we do that, I'd just like to read, if I may, the statement that you partially covered, and it's this lady's statement, and she said, and I quote from your article, "First, you'll do what's necessary, and that's learning safety procedures. Then you'll do what's possible. And then, just maybe, you'll do what you thought was impossible." Now, how true that is, not only of that, but of life itself, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
A great statement. I know they've received some awards as well at this, but if you go, give us a little rundown on that.
Okay, you mean...
If our people wanted to go and learn a little bit more about this, you mentioned that they can enroll in the Canadian Outdoor Leadership Training Program, which is, www.cult.bc.ca.
Yeah. No, that'll be for the younger people that want
right.
to make a career out of adventure,
okay.
tourism, or you know, if they're just interested in becoming better at, things like kayaking and canoeing and mountaineering and rock climbing.
Right. And then, of course, there's the Strathconiapark.org. I guess that's their site.
Yeah, we didn't mention that, but this the lodge is right beside the oldest and one of the largest provincial parks in Canada, in British Columbia. And so it has access to wonderful scenery, including the highest waterfall in all of Canada, many times higher than Niagara Falls.
Right.
So, the website for that's given in the article. But the main thing is just to look up their website, which is www.strathcona.bc.ca.
And one would fly into Vancouver, I'm assuming.
One would fly into Victoria.
In Victoria, I'm sorry. Yeah.
And then drive up to Campbell River, and then about half an hour west of Campbell River is a lodge. And the nice thing is that you sit down, once you get there, you can sit down with the instructors, and you can work out entirely your own program. So you don't have to be doing rappelling and zip lining, unless you want to, of course. You can be doing more stage things, or you can be hiking, or you can be mountaineering. There's all sorts of other things as well, orienteering, and they have log rolling in the summer.
Well, those of you who are listening, they know that they can go to our website, ttrn.com, and you can read Hans's article along with some really fabulous photos as well. We've got to run, Hans. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for sharing a really great story with us.
Okay, Roy. Thanks a lot. It's been great talking travel with you.
Bye for now.
Okay, bye-bye.